back to another episode of Sonic Reformation. This is Monday, February the 8th. Monday. Well, hope you all had a good weekend. Hope you all had a wonderful worship service yesterday. Hey, we're going to jump on to J.D. Greer here for a moment. You guys know J.D. Greer, pastor of the Summit Church, pastor of a church that has multiple campuses, which isn't biblical because nowhere in the New Testament are we told to have multiple campuses where the teaching elder is beamed in to all the multiple campuses onto a screen so that the people can gather in those campuses and watch a man on a large screen or monitor or TV. They should have a teaching elder in those campuses teaching. And then you would call that a church plant, not a campus. That's J.D. Greer. J.D. Greer is also, J.D. Greer is also the pastor who shut down the churches, those multiple or multi-campus churches. How do you even say that? Multi-campuses or multi-campies. This is what happens when you think out loud. Anyway, he shut down the Summit Church, I think sometime in March 2020. And they did not open back up until, well, they said they weren't going to open back up until 2021. I don't know if they've opened back up yet. Don't know. J.D. Greer is also the president of the Southern Baptist Convention. And because of the pandemic last year, he was just given the presidency again. There was no vote because they could only do in-person voting. That's what they were saying. And you would think, by way of everyone using Zoom for as long as we have now, they'd been able to figure out a way last summer to do some type of virtual voting to elect a new president of the SBC. But since they were afraid to do that, they just gave it to J.D. Greer another year. J.D. is one of the pastors who has become woke. J.D. Greer is a pastor who shut down his church, Summit Church, but then told the congregation to go out and march for social justice. So you can't meet and worship God, but you can go out into the street, surround yourself by a ton of people, surround yourself with a ton of people. That sounds better. Not by a ton of people. That's strange. Having a hard time talking today. Words just are not my friend. But that's what that's J.D. Greer. Can't worship in person, but we can go march for social justice. You know what else he's done? J.D. Greer has taken up for Vice President Kamala Harris. In the Christian Post, and look, when I go to the Christian Post, I'm not going for the articles. I'm going for the articles, but in a way to do research for Sonic Reformation. I'm not going there to be theologically challenged. I'm not going there to find a reformed understanding. And I'm just going there for the articles. That is it. So the Christian Post, because a lot of, and not to sound mean, but the Christian Post is so watered down that you're going to have charismatics, you're going to have Arminians. Rarely are you going to have a reformed perspective on the Christian Post. It is just a watered down Christian online source. I was going to say paper, but so anyway, here nor there, kind of rambling. J.D. Greer urges pastors not to call Vice President Kamala Harris Jezebel, but to pray for her. And this is by Leonardo Blair, a Christian Post reporter. Now, before I jump into this article real quick, Vice President Kamala Harris is not a godly woman. And I can say that, and I know for a lot of people, it's like, how dare you say that about her? What kind of teaching elder pastor are you to make that claim about Kamala Harris? Well, it's pretty simple. She's a Democrat. She's not a Democrat out of ignorance. She is a Democrat that ran on that platform because she knows what it is that they hold to. She is progressive. She is for abortion. She is for the transgendering of children, teenagers, adults. It doesn't matter to her. She hates the image that God has made man and woman. Or why else would you say that transgendering is okay? She is a woman, like I said, that isn't godly. Her beliefs prove that. Now, do I agree with the article? Should we pray for Kamala Harris? Yes, we should pray for our leaders in the sense that their heart is regenerated. But we are also, because of who they are and what they stand for, we are to pray to be protected from them. Where Kamala Harris is right now, she is a woman who does not like God. And we have J.D. Greer, president of the SBC, saying that she should not be compared to Jezebel. Well, first, who is Jezebel? Who is this woman? Let me do this real quick. I'm going to jump to gotquestions.org. They do a good job. Now, they're not five-point Calvinists, but again, I'm going to give credit to where credit's due. Gotquestions.org says, who is Jezebel in the Bible? I'm going to skip the first part. Actually, no, I'm not. Let's go this. Answer, Jezebel is a name synonymous with evil. She is the epitome of the wicked woman. So infamous is her name that to this day, no one names their baby daughter Jezebel. To call a woman a Jezebel is the greatest insult imaginable. Jezebel was the daughter of Ithbel, a priest of the cruel, sensuous, false god Baal. Ithbel, the priest king of Tyre, who murdered his own brother to take over the throne, was hardly a good father figure. But Jezebel followed in her father's footsteps and was herself a power-hungry murderess who stopped nothing to get what she wanted. So the king of Israel at the time was Ahab, a weak man who abdicated his authority to his bride, the princess Jezebel. In spite of God's laws forbidding idolatry and the worship of any god but the Lord, Ahab married this princess, who brought to Israel with hundreds of priests of lewd Baal worship a cult that tended to destroy manhood and drag womanhood into shame. Pause right there. Think about that. Think about that. What is it that the party that Kamala Harris represents, what do they hold to? That the image in which God has made man and woman sometimes isn't correct. Sometimes isn't correct. So the person, the image bearer of God, is able to tell God that he was wrong and that they are going to switch the very image that he made them. Now, biologically, they cannot do that. They can't. They're always going to be a man. They're always going to be a woman. They can take all the hormones in the world, but their DNA is still going to be that in which they were born, in which they were born. Yeah, that sounds good. And this is what Kamala and her party represent. This is what they hold to. They think that it's okay for a male teenage athlete to supposedly transition into a female and then go and dominate those females in sports. To me, it sounds as if Kamala fits the description of Jezebel. Jezebel was, back to the article, Jezebel was such a domineering person that she soon became a master over her weak husband. One of her first acts was to order the extermination of the prophets of the Lord and set up altars to Baal. So pervasive was her idolatrous influence in Israel that Jesus later used her name to refer to a woman who led the church at Thyatira into immorality and the worship of false gods. Now, this article continues, but I think that gives us a bit of a description of who Jezebel was and why some pastors are comparing Kamala Harris, Vice President Kamala Harris, to the wicked Jezebel of Scripture. Now, let's jump into this article and let's see why J.D. Greer is standing up for Kamala Harris. It says here, Southern Baptist Convention President J.D. Greer is urging pastors in the denomination to refrain from calling Vice President Kamala Harris Jezebel due to the racist connotations of the moniker. He is calling on them to honor and pray for her as an elected leader instead. Okay, let's stop and pause. I just read what Jezebel or who Jezebel is in the scripture. That's what these pastors are referring to. But J.D. Greer has to jump outside of the word and go into some type of racial slur. Why would he do that? Contextually speaking, that's what these pastors are comparing Jezebel to, or comparing Kamala Harris to, the Jezebel of Scripture. He goes on to say in the article, Greer's guidance comes in the wake of SBC's pastors, including SBC Executive Committee member Steve Swofford, referring to the vice president by the term. I realize that some pastors are likely unaware of the history of certain racial stereotypes in calling or comparing our vice president to Jezebel, but that doesn't make such statements any less unwise. Greer, who pastors the multi-campus Summit Church in North Carolina, wrote in a Twitter thread Tuesday. There are times we will critique policies, but that should not include personal attacks on newly elected official God has told us to honor and pray for. Let us speak clearly and boldly for righteousness, but in a way that honors what the scriptures say about honoring our leaders. We don't correct one sin through another. Pause. So, what did Jesus do when he called out the Sanhedrin, the Supreme Court of Israel during his time? He called them a brood of vipers. What do you do with John the Baptist when he called out King Herod for his sexual immorality? J.D. Greer? Are we supposed to keep our mouths shut when it comes to this woman who is in favor of murdering babies inside the womb? He goes on to say, Swofford, who pastors First Baptist Church of Rockwall, Texas, called President Joe Biden cognitively dysfunctional in a recent message stating, "What if something happens to him? Jezebel has to take over." Jezebel Harris, isn't that her name? Tom Buck, the pastor of First Baptist Church of Lindale, Texas, also referred to Harris as Jezebel on Twitter 2 days after her inauguration. I can't imagine any truly God-fearing Israelite who would have wanted their daughters to view Jezebel as an inspirational role model because she was a woman in power, Buck tweeted. He further noted that I most identify with those who exclusively bow the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ with both their lips and lives, irrespective of their ethnicity or biological gender. Jezebel is denounced in the Bible as a murderer, a prostitute, and enemy of God, but the name is also a racist trope in American history. According to Ferris State University in Michigan, the home of the Jim Crow Museum of Racist Memorabilia, the portrayal of black women as Jezebel whores began in slavery, extended through the Jim Crow period, and continues today. Okay, I'm going to stop, pause. All right, listen. Context. In what way are these two pastors referring to Kamala Harris? In a biblical understanding, a wicked woman who denounces God, who despises God. I'm going to be honest with you. I had no idea that a black woman during the time of Jim Crow was referred to as a Jezebel, and it says it continues today. I didn't know that. Anytime I hear the word Jezebel, my understanding is that of a wicked woman. Especially contextually speaking here, that's what it's referring to. So J.D. Greer, what is wrong? I don't understand how a pastor in the Southern Baptist, at one time was a conservative denomination, and maybe that's the issue. Maybe it's no longer, actually it's not, it's no longer conservative. So for you to be president of this denomination that's no longer conservative, you have to look at everything, not through a biblical worldview, not through a biblical lens, but through a progressive lens. Continuing with the article. Everyday items such as ashtrays, postcards, sheet music, fishing lures, drinking glasses, and so forth depicted naked and scantily dressed black women lacking modesty and sexual restraint. In some of the earliest racist definitions of Jezebel, the name was used to refer to slavery-era mulatto women, many of whom were often sold into prostitution. Okay, but that's not what we're talking about. And if you cannot understand that, if you cannot make that distinction between what pastors are talking about when referring someone to Jezebel, as opposed to what this is bringing up that I had no idea even existed, well, that's on you for not being able to make that distinction. This is not a racial issue. This is not a racial slur when it comes to Kamala Harris. Kamala Harris is an evil woman that is for killing babies. That's what bothers me about JD. JD's got to be a smart man for him to be where he is today. He's not an idiot. So what JD is doing is he's playing to the woke crowd, which is wrong. JD should be protecting his flock, being the overseer that he is. Well, as a pastor, that's what you're called to do. But that's not what JD is doing. No, he's playing the woke game. He's looking for every single angle that he can take to make it appear as if he is the woke president of the SBC. And it's lame. Man, it is so lame. It goes on to say, back to the article, Harris, the daughter of a Jamaican-born father and India-born mother, is biracial and has been accused of using sex to advance her career. Her relationship with former San Francisco Mayor Willie Brown has been the subject of many headlines in recent months. Harris and Brown, who is 30 years her senior, dated in 1994 and 95 before they split after his election as mayor. Although Brown was still legally married at the time, he had reportedly been estranged from his wife, Blanche Brown, since 1981. Pastor Buck, however, insists that his use of Jezebel to describe Harris isn't about her race. Pause right there. Okay, then why can we not take him for his word? Do we have any reason to believe? Is there anything in Tom Buck's past that leads us to see him as a liar? Is there anything? My understanding, Tom Buck is a man, a pastor, who admits when he is wrong. He's done that before. I have no reason to believe that Tom Buck had some type of initiative to use the word Jezebel too... Let me take that back. I don't believe that Tom Buck used the word Jezebel as a racial slur. Let me put it that way. Why? Because he said he didn't. And what is the original meaning? What is the original understanding of Jezebel? Again, it comes from the scripture. And this is a pastor talking or calling Kamala Harris a Jezebel. Why can we not put that together? Man. It goes on to say, back to the article, for those torn up over my tweet, I stand by it 100%, he tweeted, that being Tom Buck on January 23rd. My problem is her godless character. She not only is the most radical pro-abortion VP ever, but also most radical LGBT advocate. She performed one of the first lesbian marriages. Pray for her, but don't praise her, Tom Buck said. He also pointed out that there is a liberal magazine called Jezebel, and people don't seem to have an issue with that. There you go, JD. Are you going to call out that magazine? Is that magazine racist? It's liberal. So you got to be careful when you call out the liberal side, correct? JD Greer, it just blows my mind. It just blows my mind. All right. What's the next topic here? There's another article that so Barbie asked me, what do we do about the folks who, the prophets, the so-called prophets out there who prophesied that Donald Trump was going to be president in 2020. We've said this time and time again, when it comes to prophets, there are no prophets of today. There are no visions and dreams that are to be proclaimed as the word of God. That time is gone. We now have the full canon of God. We have his word. We no longer need the visions of the prophets because it's done. But what do we do with all these prophets that were out there claiming that Donald Trump is going to be president, and then we end up with Joe Biden? What do we do? Well, let me see if I can find this article here. And I don't know anything about this. So hear me when I say this. I am not recommending what I'm going to be reading from. It's called Eternity. But the reason why I went to it is because it gave us some names of the prophets who said that Trump would win, that would win this election. So again, I'm not recommending this. I have no idea where they are. I just came across it and I'm using it for the name. So, all right. The title of the article is "The Prophets Who Said That Trump Would Win Blame Demons." The author is John Sandman. He starts out, "If what a prophet proclaims in the name of the Lord does not take place or come true, that is a message the Lord has not spoken. That prophet has spoken presumptuously, so do not be alarmed." Deuteronomy 18:22. He goes on to say, there will be many Christians disappointed with the likely result of the U.S. presidential election, given the high level of support for President Donald Trump from white evangelicals, that being 76%, and Catholics 46%, according to the national exit poll. I got to pause just for a second. 76%. I don't think that in the white evangelical population, 24% voted for the Libertarian Party. I don't think 24% of the white evangelicals did a write-in vote. To me, 76% for Trump is low. And I'm not saying that that an evangelical voted for Trump because of his morals. No, I think more than anything, they voted for Trump because the other option is wicked and immoral. The Democrats are the party that is anti-God. So 76%, man, that's low. Same thing with the Catholics. 46%. 46%. Less than half of the Catholics that were polled voted for Trump. Again, it's not because Trump is a moral man. We're not saying that. However, Trump was the bulwark between us, that being the Christians, and the Democrat Party. The article goes on to say, but one group is even more distressed, those who claim to be prophets and who prophesied a Trump victory. Jeremiah Johnson is author of a number of books on prophecy and host of a TV show. Let me play you a clip of who this Jeremiah Johnson is, and he's on Daystar. This is Jeremiah Johnson being interviewed. And just listen to this dream. It's this video is about 3 minutes, 48 seconds. I'll see how much of it I'll play. But here we go.
So much death in New York City. And by the way, we love you, New York.
Yes, we do.
You are our number one. I mean, we hear from more people.
Okay, the woman and the man that you're here from now, they're the co-host of Daystar, this show. And I should know the name of the host, but I don't. Let me see if I can find it here. Okay. This is called, I think, Ministry Now. And Marcus and Joni Lamb lead the viewers around the world into Ministry Now. It says, full of radical faith, encouraging declarations, and positive advice, this program will help you shift your perspective away from fear and into the hope God still has for your future. Okay, so the co-hosts are Marcus and Joni Lamb. That's who you're hearing right now.
New York City, is that right?
Number one, not just hearing from, but giving more financial support of Daystar than any other place.
This is what you said. You said, I found myself walking the empty streets of New York, and I'll just let you tell the rest of it, but you actually heard the sound of a giant creature. And of course, this was in the spirit realm, but share a little bit about what you saw happening in the streets of New York City by way of the spirit.
Okay, here's Jeremiah Johnson. And he claims that God gave him this. So here's Prophet Jeremiah Johnson.
In the dream, I picked up a newspaper on the streets of New York, and on the front page, it said, corruption exposed. And immediately, I heard a big red dragon that was roaming the streets of New York City. Now, I understood it didn't have the ability to breathe fire, but it was an intimidating, bullying spirit that was causing the church in New York City to hide. And then the next scene in the dream, which was so powerful, I saw an underground prayer network of saints, even specifically the Hispanic and Latino population have a special anointing in New York City to break the powers of darkness.
Oh, wow, that's powerful.
Wow, folks, listen, your prayers can make a difference. You can get to activate your prayer group, even if you're a social distancing, and we like to call it physical distancing, because you still should be engaged socially. But prayer is.
This is mocking God's word, by the way.
Powerful, and everybody can pray, and your prayers can and will make a difference.
Another thing you talked about, the Lord showed you, is that, and this is specific.
The Lord showed him. You hear that? This dream is from the Lord.
To the church, if you will, the spirit of Absalom coming into the church, and a lot of that is a result of offenses and bitterness. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, you know, Absalom was a man who was offended. I believe that he didn't believe his father David acted justly when his sister Tamar was violated. And so I felt like the Lord gave me a prophetic warning. The spirit of Absalom is on the loose in the church, especially regarding racism. It's out of that wounding and out of that offense where we feel like we're not justified in our pain, that vengeance can come out. And so I really want to encourage brothers and sisters in the church. The devil is trying to bring division division yes. among Christian leaders, black and white. He's trying to release. And the truth is, if we don't deal with the spirit of racism in the church, we have no authority to talk about it on the street.
Okay, so that's Jeremiah Johnson, the prophet who is wrong about Trump. And what happens if you are wrong about one prophetic word? Then you are not a prophet. Now, when it goes into the racism issue, this is the church's fault. And this is what I mean by that. This should not even be an issue. If there is such an injustice taking place and the church hears about it, then yes, we are to shut it down. That's what the church is called to do. But when it comes to the church, if there's only two races, right? Stay with me on this. There's only two. I said this before. It's the race of the first Adam, that being those who are non-believers, whose faith is not in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then there's the second race, that is the race of believers. That's it. For us, the church in the West, to now bring up this racial divide that isn't there, but we're bringing it up because of this woke narrative that has been crammed down our throats, then shame on you, church, for not standing for the truth. Again, you'll hear me say this time and time again. If there is a racist incident that happens, the church should stand against it. But to make this claim that racism is the evil of all evil, especially in 2021, it's not true. And what are we as believers? We are to declare the truth, not to stand behind a false narrative. That's what divides the church. It's not racism. Racism's not an issue in the United States today. It better not be an issue inside the church, unless what? The church makes it one to stand behind a false narrative. All right, so that's Jeremiah Johnson. Let me go back to the article here. So again, Jeremiah Johnson was wrong on his claim, his prophetic word, that Trump was going to be president in 2021. Okay, so now, interesting about Jeremiah Johnson is he ends up repenting of this. He says he's sorry for the false prophetic word. However, that doesn't stop him from prophesying. That's great that he repents that what he heard wasn't from God, but what he should do is repent of being a prophet. Everything should come down. All of his videos, his books, whatever the case may be, you take it all down. That's how you repent. All right. So it says, early in the year, he shared a vision about Trump winning on his Facebook page of 300,000 followers. And about 100 yards from the finish, he tripped and fell down and could not get up. The crowd was spitting on him. They were jeering at him. And suddenly two older women who I knew were baby boomers somehow made their way through the crowd and supernaturally lift Donald Trump up and helped him get to the finish. Okay, that's his prophetic word there. He goes on to say, I believe God is calling on baby boomers in this nation to take your stand and believe with me that the best is yet to come. The prophecy is quoted in a Christian Broadcasting Network story. Prophets say they did not get it wrong. It's not over. Another is also quoted, Kat Kerr. The rocks are about to move and Trump will be president no matter what you hear, Kerr said. Now, let me play this for you on, this is Kat Kerr and one of her prophetic rants. What did I do with that? Dun, dun, dun. Oh, Kat, where did you go? Here it is. This video is 5 minutes and 42 seconds. This is called Trump 2020. This was released September 6th. Cat Kerr.
Hello, everybody. This is On the Go with Cat. And this is actually our second one today because I have a lot to say. God does too. Anyway, we're going to talk about the Republican National Convention.
Okay, so let me stop you right there. God does too. So what is she saying? That what she is going to talk about here is a word from God. That this is a prophetic word.
A little bit about the Democratic National Convention because they didn't have a lot to say anyway. But mainly to encourage you to vote. Vote, vote. We are only, is that 58 days, correct, Jen?
Yes.
We're only 58 days away from Election Day. And yes, I know God's going to have Trump win, but we all have to vote. Do not.
She just said God is going to have Trump win. God is going to have Trump win. Again, today is February the 8th at 4:53 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you know who the president is. It's not Donald Trump. It is Joe Biden.
Be fooled by the lies from the Biden camp, because most of that stuff didn't come from him anyway. They've had many months to plot and plan. No matter who they chose to run, they would use them. And I can promise you, Biden is being used. And I'm not the only one who knows that. Many people know that. But the things he will say, because they have a chance to try to change up them things, is still death and not life. They're against the unborn, okay? They want communism, socialism. I mean, these people who are behind all this, the left, the far left, the Democrats, and the fake news are all together.
It's scary that there's a little bit of truth tossed in there. A little bit of truth, but that still doesn't negate that she is a false prophet.
In this big pot that they're stirring, don't trust them, don't believe them. Pray for your family members who are trying to choose Biden to vote for. It won't fare well with anyone in any way. So now we're switching our zone onto the Trump train, and I will be doing a big broadcast Facebook Live on Trump Train 2020 next week. And if all you have a day off, an extra day off, spend it praying for the elections, part of it anyway, okay? Spend time with your family. Spend time thanking God that our lives are not coming back to normal.
Speed this up just a little bit and see if there's anything up here that, here
we go. One night, I know Melania spoke one night. It was so powerful. And then Trump's daughter spoke. And then Trump spoke. And let me tell you what, there was such power. And the presence of God was in that message. God has not abandoned Trump. No matter what you see, no matter what you hear, you need to ignore every bit of it and get to the polls. Make sure you vote. We're voting in person. We go to the same poll always. And I am very much connected with the Trump camp right now. And I can tell you.
Huh. That's strange. It just cut off here. Let me see.
It is going to be amazing, and people will be shocked on Election Day. Yes, Trump is going to win, but we need you to go out and vote. So, God, I think
Kat was probably shocked on Election Day. Again, Biden is president. Okay, another false word there. All right, let's go back to this article. All right, Kat's prophetic word says it will start with a phone call, and I can tell you, you will be shocked to see how much exposure comes from that. But Trump will win. He will be president of the United States. He will sit in that office for 4 more years, and God will have his way in this country. All right. And then we got Pat Robertson. Let's see. CBN also records a chorus of other prophetic voices that believe God told them Trump will win, including CBN's Pat Robertson. I want to say without a question, Trump is going to win the election, Robertson said during a podcast of the 700 Club, the network's flagship program. Pat Robertson is its longtime host. Let's see. It's going to see if there's... Yep. Okay, continuing down, Pat Robertson says, in an email sent out that day after the election, Jeremiah Johnson wrote, as many of you know, there has been a chorus of mature and tested prophets in America with a proven track record that have predicted Donald J. Trump will be reelected president of the United States. I am one of them. However, we are now watching news unfold today that is saying otherwise. In fact, I believe Joe Biden will soon prematurely announce that he is the next president of the United States. Chaos will ensure. Either a lying spirit has filled the mouths of numerous trusted prophetic voices in America, or Donald J. Trump really has won the presidency and we're witnessing a diabolical and evil plan unfold to steal the election. I believe that with all my heart that the latter is true. Says you read that correctly. Donald J. Trump won the 2020 election last night, and the chorus of prophets who saw into the future and prophesied it were accurate. They should not apologize. In fact, in the coming weeks, many of them will be harassed and slandered. It will be nothing more than a satanic attack to rattle them and challenge the faith of the people of God. The election aftermath will be a difficult time for these leaders and their followers. As sisters and brothers in Christ, they deserve sympathy and prayers for those who, whatever their political views, had not attached such a spiritual load to this political event. The scale of their turmoil is apparent in this passage from the Johnson email. You must understand China, big tech, including Fox News and social media platforms like Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram are all in on this demonic agenda to steal the 2020 election from Donald Trump. Okay, let's stop right there. What is the demonic agenda that is telling you that you are a prophet and that the words you prophesy are from God when you have been proven wrong by this event? Listen, if you were a prophet of the Old Testament, you would be stoned for your claiming that God gave you this prophetic word. This email goes on to say from Jeremiah Johnson, I cannot even publish this online for fear our ministry will be censored once again. These media outlets are the modern day false prophets of Baal. They're shouting, mocking, deceiving, and taunting the people of God. What they don't understand by claiming to be false prophets is that they are the ones shouting, mocking, deceiving, and taunting the people of God. And for those of you all following these false prophets, stop it. Let your word from God come from Him. Do you want to hear it? Do you want to hear the word of God? Play the Bible app. It reads to you. If you want to hear the word of God audibly, play the Bible app. Have James Earl Jones read the scripture out loud to you. That's the word that you need to hear. You don't need to be going to Kat Kerr or Jeremiah Johnson or Sid Roth or Pat Robertson. They are not prophets. They've proven to be wrong. This one incident has proved them. Has proved that they are not prophets. Here's another prophetic word. Another example of how post-election prophecy continues. Prophet Sid Roth and Michael Morello saying Trump will win. God has thrown this election into the court so the corruption will be exposed. Okay, I'm going to play this video. I played it before of Sid Roth. But if you believe this man is a prophet after listening to this nonsense, then something is wrong with you. You need to spend more time in the Word if you claim to be a Christian, yet you believe Sid Roth to be a prophet. And you can go on to YouTube, type in Sid Roth, baby throwing, kicking, punching, kicking, dying, and sick, necromancing the dead's anointing. Type that in to YouTube. I'll say it again, Sid Roth, baby throwing, kicking, punching, kicking, dying, and sick, necromancing the dead's anointing. This is Sid Roth telling the story about Smith Wigglesworth.
One in particular intrigues me so much. His name, Smith Wigglesworth. He had some of the most outrageous miracles I ever heard of in my life. Let me give you one example. Some parents had a two-month-old baby dying in the hospital. The parents kidnapped the child, took the child to a Smith Wigglesworth meeting, and Smith looks at the child, looks at the parents, and say, can I do what God tells me to do? Well, what would you do if you were the parents? The child's dying anyway, right? He takes the baby, two-month-old, throws the baby against the wall. The baby.
Yes, you just heard people laughing. There's people in the crowd that are smiling at this nonsense. Listen, you take my two-month-old baby and you slam it up against the wall, I'm going to slam my fist up against your face. What is wrong with these people?
Then the baby's on the floor. Have you ever seen someone play soccer? Have you ever seen them kick a soccer ball? He does that with the baby. The baby falls into the congregation. No crying. There's something about your great-grand.
He goes on to say there's no crying because the baby's been healed. That's... Man. Yeah, these are the prophets that were claimed to be prophets. And it's so sad because when I was looking at Kat Kerr, I think she has like 26,000 subscribers. Jeremiah Johnson, what did I say, had over 100,000. Christians are being deceived because they're not in the Word. They're following this nonsense instead of spending time underneath a mature elder. They're not spending time in a Bible preaching, teaching church. Instead, they want to be entertained with these types of stories that aren't real. They are made up. It is sick and disturbing. When it comes to the prophets, let me go to 1 Kings 22, 13 through 14, and I want you to be able to, you're going to be able to tell the difference between a true prophet, because what they're wanting to do is to, one, get the word of God out, to elevate God, to glorify God. For a false prophet, what are they wanting to do? To elevate themselves, to glorify themselves. Look at what I can do. Look at what I can predict. Look how God talks to me. 1 Kings 22, 13 through 14. And the messenger who went to summon Micaiah said to him, behold, the words of the prophets with one accord are favorable to the king. Let your word be like the word of one of them and speak favorably. But Micaiah said, as the Lord lives, what the Lord says to me, that I will speak. Jeremiah 23:16. Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you, filling you with vain hopes. They speak visions of their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. Is that not the perfect example? I mean, is that not the perfect verse that describes the very prophets who we just talked about? It is a good thing that these so-called prophets weren't around in the Old Testament. Look what Deuteronomy 18:20 says. But the prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name that I have not commanded him to speak, or who speaks in the name of other gods, that same prophet shall die. Let's go to the words of Jesus. Jesus, on the Sermon on the Mount, says, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Jesus went on to explain the grave consequences of also being a false prophet. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus by their fruit you will recognize them. Not everybody who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter in the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evil doers. I appreciate what gotquestions.org does here when it says, thankfully, the Bible outlines foolproof test for recognizing a false prophet. The key is to know what a true prophet is like. A true prophet's words will be fulfilled. Deuteronomy 18:21-22. And if you say in your heart, how may we know the word that the Lord has not spoken? When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, the word does not come to pass or come true. That is a word that the Lord has not spoken. The word, the prophet has spoken it presumptuously. Jeremiah 28:8-9, the prophets who preceded you and me from ancient times prophesied war, famine, and pestilence against many countries and great kingdoms. As for the prophet who prophesies peace, when the word of that prophet comes to pass, then it will be known that the Lord has truly sent that prophet. Again, the word will be fulfilled exactly the way the prophet speaks it. A true prophet's teachings are consistent with the scripture. We see this in 2 Peter 1:20-21, knowing this first of all, that no prophecy or scripture comes from someone's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. We also have a true prophet will acknowledge Jesus Christ as divine. 1 John 4:1-6. Computer's acting funny. There we go. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets going out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ come into the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. What I find interesting is that the epistles towards the end of Scripture, when they speak of the gifts that have been given to us, the gifts of tongues and prophecy and prophets, I should say, are no longer mentioned. Why is that? Because we're getting closer to the word being fulfilled, canonized, not fulfilled, I should say canonized, being complete. So we no longer need the prophets. Why? Because we have his word. During the time of the New Testament, of course, they needed prophets. The word had not yet been fulfilled yet. But even those prophets were 100% accurate. Today, whenever we hear someone say that they are prophesying and not meaning teaching, but actually receiving a word from God, a vision from God, pay no mind to it, because you have the complete, inerrant, and infallible word. You have the scripture. Go to that and to that alone. Well, that's going to be it for today. Thank you again for listening to Sonic Reformation. If you have any questions, comments, suggestions, complaints, feel free to email me at Britt, B-R-I-T-T, the number 7@me.com. Again, that is Britt7@me.com. And once again, thank you guys so much for tuning in. Until next time.